beginning. It's been a couple of weeks since we've been together. Last week was inclement weather, and did you walk down here, Leroy, you and your kids?
Did you really?
Okay.
Man, I felt bad. These guys walk. He brings his kids, walks to church. He doesn't have to. He just wants to. It's time he spends with his kids, and I didn't want him to do that in sub-zero weather and us not be meeting, but... All right, let's go. We're back in Matthew chapter 7. Let's begin in verse 7. It says, "Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and he that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom, if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? And therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets." As citizens of the kingdom of God, this is really one of the greatest promises you find in Scripture when he tells us to ask and we shall receive and seek and we shall find and knock and it shall be opened unto us. It tells us really what it's telling us is that we have access to the treasures of God through prayer. And now, of course, it's not when we read this, you know, the tendency is to think it's a blank check. It's not a blank check. There's a lot of things that would need to be in place in our asking and our seeking and our knocking. For one thing, it's only for believers. It's a promise that applies to us. In spite of the fact that there were others in the crowd during this sermon, the promises and the instructions of the Sermon on the Mount were directed to Christians. And so this just applies to believers. And remember, when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ and our sins are forgiven, they're cleansed, they're taken care of, that places us in a father-son or father-daughter spiritual relationship with God. And that the key word is Father. Jesus, throughout these, not just this sermon, but throughout all of the Gospels, it continually using the word Father, repeating that over and over, especially here in the Sermon on the Mount. And the lost, those that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, don't have that privilege. They don't have a Heavenly Father. They may think they do, but if they're not born again, they're not cleansed by the blood of Christ, they don't have a Father. And so therefore they can't seek, they can't ask, and they can't knock. And they can, but they're not going to get any response. They don't have the connection through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we do. And that's a great blessing to know that we have a Father in heaven. And when we call upon God, He hears us. He may not respond in the way we want Him to. He may not respond anywhere near the way we want Him to. But He will respond to our prayers according to His will. And so this promise, not a blank check. It's only applicable to believers. And secondly, if we want to get our request made, responded to by the Father or answered by the Father, it's important that we also be obedient children. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. I want you to notice this verse. To be honest with you, I never really connected with this verse until this study. "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because," watch, "because we keep His commandments and do these things that are pleasing in His sight." Just haven't noticed that verse before. But you think about that, that's telling us if we're obedient to the commands of God, we're pleasing God, and a pleased God is what? A happy God that's going to be more likely to answer our prayers or our petitions, okay? As parents, we're not likely to give our kids what they ask of us if they're misbehaving, are we? I mean, some parents do, but a good parent would not likely reward their kid by giving them their desires if they are misbehaving or if they're acting up or whatever. But But the one reason is we're just displeased. We're displeased with their behavior. We're displeased with the way they're doing. And so we don't. On the other hand, if our kids are taking care of their business, you know, they're not perfect, but we know they're on the right track. They're trying hard. They have the right disposition, the right effort. There's nothing makes us happier as parents than that. And a happy parent and a pleased parent wants to reward those kids. And when they come along and say, "Hey, Dad, can we go to Chuck E. Cheese?" We're like, "Yeah, you know, let's do that." Because we're pleased with that child. And so if we expect answered prayer and we expect God to respond in the way we want Him to respond, then we should be obedient children and be living in such a way that He can be pleased with us. Thirdly, if we want our request to be made known, we need to have the appropriate motives. James chapter 4 and verse 3 says, You ask and you receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. This is just talking about motives. Clearly, if our reasons for asking for something from God are born out of selfishness or impure motives, then we just can't expect an all-knowing God. He knows the motives. We can't expect Him to go along with it and bless it. We just simply can't. Fourthly, yet another qualification for having answered prayer is submission. And David, Brother David, talked about this Sunday night in his message about straddling the fence. Straddling the fence is an unblessed place to be. If we can't serve God and mammon, because we will not be submitted to either one. We'll be divided. So we've got to learn to yield. And then I talked about this on Sunday morning myself, about yielding, making sure we're being obedient to God's will in the areas that we know. And then, of course, we'll be more likely to find out more from God about His will. So if we expect Him to bless us, we expect Him to respond positively to our request and our prayers, then we need to be submitted to Him in our lives. And here's another thing that's suggested in this verse is perseverance. You see, it doesn't just say ask. It says ask, seek, and knock. Each step is progressive in intensity. Each step indicates a little more fervency. You ask, and then you seek Him, and then you knock. You're coming at Him with it. You have a more a sense of urgency. And regardless of how much we are in His will, when we are willing to wait and we're willing to persist, not give up on those prayers, but keep coming before God with them, that is an exercise of faith. And the Bible says faith pleases God. And so God may allow us to experience a little more of a sense of urgency in our desires and learn to pray accordingly, just really learn to ultimately start knocking, if you will, just so we grow in faith. He just, you know, if He answered immediately every time the way we wanted Him to, it wouldn't take a lot of faith. But when we just have to keep coming back with those requests, keep lifting them up to God passionately each time we do, then God knows that we are gaining in our perseverance and patience. Okay, let's read verse 9 again. It says, "What man is there of you whom, if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent?" Here Jesus is, he's given us a view of what God's love is like. Because he goes on to say in verse 11, he says, If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask Him?" You know what he's saying there? First of all, he's illustrating God's love for us by using a parent-child relationship as a pattern, and really a good pattern. He asks us rhetorically, paraphrase, what good parent is going to give their child something that's useless or dangerous? A stone would be useless if they were asking for something to eat. And of course, a snake would be dangerous if they were asking for something to eat. And so he's saying, what good parent would give these things to their children in response to the request for something to eat? And the answer to that rhetorical question is no good parent would. We just wouldn't do that. And likely, even a bad parent wouldn't do that. It is just not likely to happen. And think about this. We're fallible. We're, as fathers and mothers, we're not perfect. We make a lot of mistakes. And so by referring, he refers to the parent here as being evil. He's not in any way implying, he's not speaking of a cruel or a wicked parent. It's really just speaking of we're imperfect. We're capable of doing wrong. And he says, even at that, we wouldn't probably do those things, okay? But notice what he says, three words that you find in verse 11. He says, how much more? How much more shall your Father in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Really, it just speaks that how much more just speaks of the level of love God has. The question is, how much more? The answer is infinitely more. So much more that it cannot be measured is God's love above the love of us as parents. And so God in his perfection, in his perfect fatherhood, will be perfect in his love and in his care for his children. He has good things for those that belong to him. We know that. There's no limit to his treasures, and there's no bounds to his love and his goodness. So what is our job? Our job is to, first of all, make sure we're children of God. So it makes us qualified for this promise. Make sure we're obedient children of God. Make sure we're pure in our motives, and make sure we're submitted to him. And then all we have left to do is what? Ask, seek, and knock. Good things come to those who ask. I wonder how many blessings that we've missed out on simply because we never asked. You ever think about that? I mean, God's good to us in so many ways anyway, in spite of it. But I wonder how many things we could have had. How much better maybe our ministry could have been had we been more persistent in prayer and asking. Prayer and supplication, friends, is work. But it's work that brings results. Asking and seeking and knocking brings results. Now let's move on to verse 12. He says, therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do even to them, for this is the law and the prophets. And this is what you and I have come to know as the golden rule. The Bible doesn't call it the golden rule, but we know it in a paraphrased way. We say, do unto others as we'd have them do unto us. Or do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. And so it's a very simple principle, but yet it's very, very profound when you think about it. It's not saying do things so others will do them back to you. That's not what it's saying. But rather it's saying by giving consideration to how we want to be treated, then we're going to know how other people's need to be treated and act accordingly. It's actually, when we take the golden rule here and apply it, it's actually an expression of our love for people. When we hold this standard, we're showing how much we love people, because do unto others as we would have done unto us. How much do we love ourselves? Everybody loves themselves. And there's not a thing wrong with that. We should love ourselves, and we should want to take care of ourselves. We all want good things for ourselves. And so if we actively make an effort to practice this golden rule, then we are, in a sense, telling people or communicating to God that, hey, people or others are more important than myself. I count others more important than me. A selfish person, as we know, doesn't care about how things impact those around them. Selfish people are into themselves. They don't care about what the other person is feeling. As long as they're getting their way, a selfish person is happy. But Jesus, all through his teachings in the scripture here, reveals that there's no place for that kind of self-centeredness in the life of his children. Notice what it says there, the word do. He says, do even so to them. That do just implies action. I mean, it's actually something that tells us that we have to actively make it a point to learn to pour ourselves into other people and give them the things or treat them the way that we would want ourselves to be treated or we would want to be given. Just in the way of motivation, just quickly, we won't be long. Let's talk about some of those things that with the golden rule in mind, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you, or in Jesus' way of saying it, whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do even to them. What are some of the things that we? I'm going to let you speak up. And then they're going to say, well, I really like a back rub, so that's what I'll, you know. But the things that you would particularly think that, hey, I like that to be done unto me, and so you can go out and practice that. Something simple. Bam? Treat people with respect and love. That's very good. Yep. We all like to be respected. I'm sorry?
Show kindness.
Show kindness, patience. You know what? When we mess up or when we are not as lovable as we should be, we really want people to be kind and patient with us through those times. And so we have to learn to do the same thing to others when they're that way. Anybody else?
Forgiving.
That's a big one. And, of course, the Bible says that we forgive one another as God, for Christ's sake, have forgiven us. If we don't learn to forgive, then we're missing out on the blessings of God. Furthermore, we want to be forgiven by people when we mess up. So we have to show that forgiveness, same forgiveness to other people. What else? Pat? Help. Did she say help people? That I have that written down here. You're exactly right. I thought about that when I was writing these notes. If I were on the side of the road and a situation trying to car broke down or a flat tire or whatever, and it was a situation where I would really like for somebody to stop and help me, right? And so I thought about that. How many times have I passed people thinking, well, the next guy will do it? No? But now, obviously, we have to consider safety and things of that nature. But, yeah, you're exactly right. I'd like to people to help me when I'm down and out, so we ought to help people when they're down and out. What else? Here's something. That's Catherine. Go ahead.
Sharing joy
with them. That's right. I want to. Charlotte? Encouragement. There again. It all kind of goes down the same vein. I like for people to lift me up. I like for people to tell me something that is encouraging and makes me happy, brings joy. And so learn to practice that too. I was thinking about this earlier. How we really all, and I'll be quickly done, how we really all like to talk about things that are important to us, don't we? I mean, when you know, somebody asked me about my bucking bulls, please. So, I get excited. I want to talk about my bucking bulls, okay? That makes me happy, right? Or ask me about my grandkids. We all know we've got those things. Well, I thought about that. I thought, how many times do you engage someone and ask them about something that's important to them, and then just sit back and let them talk? You know, that's important. You enjoy doing it, so we ought to think about doing that ourselves. Just make it a point to actively listen to people and what's important to them. It makes them feel good. What else? Compliments. Hey, you look nice today. Man, hadn't you lost weight? You're going to blow away. These sort of things. I'll tell you, that makes me feel good when I shuck a little weight and somebody notices, yes. Empathy towards others. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Anybody else? All right, that's good stuff. I think that's good food for thought. But we ought to leave here today, guys. You get out tomorrow and you get exposure to somebody, put some of those things into practice and just see how much blessing it'll be to you, okay? Let's go ahead and we will be dismissed. and a word of prayer. Glad to see you tonight. Look forward to seeing you back here Sunday. Last Sunday, we had three families return that we had not had since COVID started, and I expect there's going to be more. You guys keep up the prayers, keep up the inviting, and we will see you back here on Sunday. Mike Hoff, will you dismiss us in prayer, please?